There is no one that faced a trial like our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are many things, many stories to be found in all of human life that tell us of such great trials that human beings have faced. But the Son of God went through a trial that was for us. And so when we come to Hebrews 13, the word of exhortation is verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And it is our thanksgiving, Christians, from redeemed hearts that know the impact of grace, that brings forth from our hearts the motion of our lips, and the motion of our lips become a sacrifice. The King James speaks of it as the calves of our lips. We are offering the young bullock of our lips as a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise to God for what Jesus did for us. Now we come to Psalm 116. And we look here at this. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? The inspiration for this message today came from the excellent sermon that our brother Chuck gave last Sunday morning on the five blessings of thanksgiving from Psalm 103. Do you remember? As he talked about these blessings, he brought home the truth that our proper and immediate response as God's people is to praise him and to make thanksgiving a habit of daily living. We are now on the other side of the Thanksgiving meal, the moment when we gathered as families to celebrate God's goodness and eat the blessed meal with all its trimmings. Did you get the white meat you were looking for, or was it gone before you got there? But did we take time to worship the Lord and recognize that far beyond the meal and all other good things he has given to us is his great love, his mercy, and that through the gift of his Son to be our Savior? Well, the message this morning is like a bookend that encloses the volumes of thanksgiving on the shelf. This morning, we are here again to praise God from whom all blessings flow. But our doxologies can't be exhausted in a moment, or in a calendar day for that matter, because we receive his gracious gifts, his benefits throughout the whole year, 7 days a week, all our lives. Haven't we been redeemed by Christ? Doesn't that mean that we belong to him by his grace? So whatever we possess is directly from his loving, caring, merciful hand. Then why don't we take the cue from the psalmist and with him let us ask, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Praising God for his providential care is one of the most important things we can do in all our relationship to him. Truly, his care is a never-ending story, like a river that always flows. Therefore, our praise and thanksgiving should be as continual. How shall I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? The blessings of God's goodness to us are grouped into things eternal, those things having to do with our salvation and eternal life, and things earthly or temporal, the daily needs that we have. Our brother Chuck directed us to specific ways that God has blessed us. Remember, forgiving our many sins, the healing of our physical and spiritual diseases, redeeming our lives through Christ, making us crown, how do you put it, the coronation, crown princes and princesses to receive His love and compassion, and also satisfying us with every good and perfect gift of His unchangeable goodness. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:3 that the Father blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And that means blessings of the Spirit, literally. First of all, the Father planned these blessings in eternity before the world began. The Son, our Lord Jesus, purchased these blessings. Have you ever thought about them as being given to us and coming down to us through His purchase? But it was through the blessings that we received because of His obedience to God. Not only to His law as He lived 33 years of life, but also for dying on the cross for our sins. He purchased our redemption and all the good things that we enjoy. But these blessings are delivered to us personally and brought into our lives directly through the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to give this to you because I believe that these blessings can be enumerated in practical ways to us, such as in the Holy Spirit, there is His guidance and His counsel when facing financial decisions or wisdom with parenting issues, working out problems with a relationship that we have. There is His deliverance from danger, from threats, the danger of financial ruin, which seems imminent to so many. The Holy Spirit is there in His strength in the battles of daily life against our fleshly desires and habits that war against our souls. There is His encouragement in our personal catastrophes, tragedies, and our heartaches. There is His courage to face haunting thoughts and mental depression. There is His fortitude to accomplish an overwhelming task, whether it's at work or at school or at home. There is His presence in... Let me interrupt myself to ask this question of you. When has the Lord ever fallen short of His blessing? Has He failed you? In your bitterness, would you actually say He has failed you? Ever? And the question I think is Romans 8:28 still in the Bible? Of course it is, but it is in our hearts of faith that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those same ones who are called according to His purpose. It's still the promise that supports your confidence that He is gracious and loving no matter what He ordains in your life. Now we come to Psalm 116. And we see David the king was under great distress, even to the point of despair. You look at that and is full of emotion when he wrote this psalm. His son Absalom was seeking to kill him in an attempt, think of it, kill his own father, in an attempt to overthrow David and to usurp the throne. Of course, we know God delivered him, because we have the story in front of us. We know God delivered him, but a look at this psalm does not indicate that the outcome was certain to David in the heat of the trial itself. You see, that's where you and I are. How do we obtain a certainty that God will take care of us? It's that faith, that confidence in His promise. But David responds in a godly way. when the Lord answered him and delivered him. He recognizes his unworthiness for the least of God's blessings, yet understands that all the good things in his life call for an offering of thanksgiving and worship. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? What shall I render? Is another version. Surrender. Can you think of anything greater to offer the God who loves you, cares for you, and your every need? I ask you, and here I say to you, dear ones, is there anything else more important to God in your relationship to him? Does he want your eloquent lip service, which is so hollow in others and divorced from our hearts? No. He is not populating his heaven with self-righteous Pharisees. These are the ones whose praises come from their lips, but they have willingly alienated and divorced their hearts from God. In contrast, could I speak with a personal reference to Wyatt? Pastor has said, and he said to me personally, he says, that little man right there is going to teach us many things. And he does. In a prayer around the table or at devotion time, Wyatt will say, he starts his prayer with thanks. Thank you, Mommy, Daddy, and the list goes on, Wesley, Quinn, etc. As the list goes on until Mommy or Daddy says, in Jesus' name, and then Wyatt enthusiastically says, Amen. And with Wyatt, he says it with emphasis, of course. The point is this. We have different levels of understanding to express our gratitude to God. And to one another, by the way. But God views our hearts and accepts our offerings of gratitude and praise only in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it does not matter about the eloquence. The Lord looks upon the what? Upon the heart. True and godly thanksgiving means surrender of our very being. It means we will value God supremely, and that we will not do less than daily dedicate ourselves to him as his living sacrifices. We go back there to Romans 12, Romans chapter 12 together. It is so familiar to us, and yet it is all about what we're talking about, everlasting thanksgiving. Romans chapter 12. We read this morning the doxology. We read this passage, and it comes after the presentation of the gospel, literally, to us. That is fully in the book of Romans. Paul has set forth the gospel. He started with an introduction about the good news of Jesus Christ in chapter 1 and verse 16. And he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. Then he goes on. And as the gospel is certainly good news, Paul goes on to write the bad news. And he begins to go through a history of all of ancient civilization. And he says that they glorified him not as God, and they neither were thankful. They have robbed God not only of recognition of his glory, but appreciation of all that he does in his providence in sustaining mankind. And that's big with God. So true and godly thanksgiving means surrender of our very being. Paul is saying here, he means that God is pleased through Jesus Christ to receive our sacrificial surrender of all that we are as human beings. For in this act of daily surrender, we demonstrate our desire to be used for his glory in one complete and continuous act of thanksgiving and service to Him. We read that continual service or sacrifice of worship and praise with our lips from Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 10, it speaks of the surrender of our Lord Jesus Christ to the will of God in order to become what He never was from all eternity, a human being. And He did this through the incarnation. He would live in perfect obedience to God's law 33 years. Then He would die. That body was prepared, as we would read it there, it was prepared to be the Passover Lamb of God to take away our sins. There's a preacher you've heard before, some of you, Howell Jones. Well, Howell Jones says, sacrifices to remove one's sin are finished with. Christ has died. But sacrifices because one's sin has been removed are not. He says, grace gives birth to gratitude. So as we now approach this Advent season in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we have grace to surrender, and give Him renewed worship and thanksgiving for His eternal love gift for our salvation. And if you're here this morning without faith in Christ, if you're not trusting fully in Him to forgive your sins this morning, this is the time for you seriously to consider that He can do for you what you can't do for yourself. Because of His providence, God has brought you here for this very moment. In your state as a sinner, you are not able to acceptably worship Him today. But, if you will come to Jesus Christ and earnestly ask Him to forgive your sins, your rebellion against Him, then God has promised to give you eternal life, a life of joy and peace. Then you will enjoy the blessing of God's people, even today as we render fresh surrender to our Lord and our Savior. We're here at chapter 12, but I was wanting to at least read with the doxology in closing. Chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His ways beyond tracing out. You see the exclamation of Paul's heart. He speaks of God in His incomprehensibility and His way of working. You see, it was from this that I felt like hymn number 128. God moves. God moves. He's moving. He's not like a Baal that's away on vacation, as Elijah the prophet had remarked in wry humor. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. And what is our response to that? It's the amen of your hearts as well as your lips. It is what Paul urged this Roman church, this church of believers. I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices. Not an atoning death sacrifice, but one in which you live out a life of service to God as though it were the worship that you bring on Sunday morning. To live a life with lips that continually have an everlasting offering to give to God. Let us pray. As your heads are bowed, I would like for you to contemplate this just very briefly, this passage in Hosea chapter 14, because Hosea 14 gives to us the Old Testament equivalent of what we read from Hebrews chapter 13, referring to our lips as a sacrifice to God. hear this beseeching God as he speaks. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously, that we may offer the fruit of our lips. Let's bow our hearts. Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that it is not a harsh word to us, that you do not, O God, that you do not drive us into your presence with whips and with cords and scorpions' tails. How we thank you, O God, that you beseech us, that you urge us to come to you out of your pure, the demonstration of your pure love and mercy and grace in the gospel of Christ. Father, I pray that you would unite our hearts to our words, to not only fear your name, but to give you the glory that's due to your name, to praise you today, Father, with all of our hearts. I pray, O God, that as we sing, Jesus, what a friend for sinners, that those that may not be here knowing you yet as their Savior, having heard the gospel perhaps even before, Lord, that you would make this the day in which they would truly come to grips with the God who made them, the God in whose hand is their very heartbeat and breath, and all the good things that you have given to them throughout all their life, that, Father, you will speak them to them today while it is yet a day of salvation, we pray. In Jesus' name.